Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. But can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. What the world needs now is for all of us to open our gifts and to use them for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. I have a wonderful guest with us today, a beautiful young woman. And let me tell you a little bit about Lauren. Lauren has been involved in the life movement for many years, and she's worked for great organizations such as Texas Right to Life and Students for Life of America. She's a graduate of Ave Maria University, where she studied classics and theology. Her husband, Jose, and 9-month-old son, John, are the greatest blessings in her life. Also, she is a contributing person to Live Action News, and that's where we have some of these things we'll talk about today. Actually, we're part of Live Action News, and I want to welcome Lauren. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, and it's always so good to see that young women like yourself, young men and women like yourself, actively involved in pro-life, because we really need to be a voice for those who have no voice, and you are certainly speaking out. You're writing about it. You're talking about it, and there's so much that needs to be brought to the forefront. And in particular, Lauren, as you well know, if through the articles you have written, one that caught my own eye, of course, was a LifeNews.com article that you, the 10 eye-opening quotes from Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. Most people hear the name Margaret Sanger, and particularly in this particular time of our culture, they have her as some great heroine, a woman of great courage and valor and integrity. But Planned Parenthood, you never see any of Margaret Sanger's quotes on any of those walls in there. When they do articles, they'll never quote her, because quite frankly, she was anything but a heroine. She was anything but a woman of integrity and valor. I thought maybe we could unveil some of this to our listeners, because some of it's, you know, quite eye-opening and shocking. We know what the abortion mills around do, but so many have no idea of the roots of Planned Parenthood or its founder, Margaret Sanger. Nor did the young people, so many students, and that's why I was thrilled to see that you're so actively involved, and you were so actively involved in Students for Life, because so many young people in different colleges and high schools, I've talked to many of them myself, and they have no idea that all these abortions go on every single day, and they're stymied when you tell them, well, we go there for this, or we go there for that, and they have no idea. So I'm so happy to have you on today, and I'm so proud of the work that you're doing to bring the darkness into the light, to focus on the areas that need to be brought out to be seen for what they are. Tell us a little bit about Margaret Sanger. I mean, we all know somewhat about her, but do you agree with me? She's hardly a heroine, a hero. She's not.
She's painted in that light, but like you said, you will rarely, if ever, see Planned Parenthood quoting her, and it makes you wonder, if Margaret Sanger was such a heroine, why isn't Planned Parenthood waving her around, you know, quoting her left and right, saying, oh, look at all the wonderful things she did. The fact is, Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist.
Yeah.
Was first and foremost, she dedicated her life to negative eugenics, trying to make sure that populations that she saw as unfit did not reproduce. And that is the root of Planned Parenthood's Planned Parenthood. She didn't believe that certain people should be parents. And so first she championed eugenics with a lot of people that we might not know had similar viewpoints, like the Rockefellers.
That's right.
She believed that people who were not as smart as she was, people who were not as physically fit as she was, should simply not exist. And so she went on campaigns and crusades her entire life to make sure that populations like the blacks, the Hispanics, and many other minorities didn't reproduce at all, and that even white people, who were what she considered to be idiots or disabled, didn't reproduce either. And so she advocated forced sterilization. She advocated putting birth control in the water to make sure that people didn't reproduce. She didn't see a lot of free will in the decision.
Hmm.
She just thought that there were powers that be, such as herself and other wealthy, powerful people in the United States who should be making these decisions on behalf of the rest of the population.
You know, it's amazing to me. I mean, I've been speaking about this for 40-some years myself, and I mean, I would be her, one of these people that she would call a tainted prodigy. I mean, I have 12 children,
mm-hmm.
and I would be one of those people that would be absolutely targeted, because one of her actual quotes, the wickedness of creating large families. I mean, I'd be front and center there on her bullseye.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little.
And the irony is that she came from a large family,
yes.
and she obviously didn't appreciate that part of her background.
Mm. It's amazing that people cannot really, so many people cannot really see beyond this myth that Planned Parenthood is actually there to help women. If anything, they're killing women every other minute in these abortion mills, you know.
It's true.
You can't even say a friend of women, because quite frankly, time and time again, in regards to these Planned Parenthood I don't even want to call it a clinic, because that denotes healthcare, but abortion mills is closer to it.
Exactly.
People don't realize that what really goes on. I mean, we're starting to get a better picture from the people like Abby Johnson and so many different people that have broken away from there when there's something that struck their conscience so raw that they no longer could be a part, like after she had her own child. And it's amazing that they think under the guise of helping. I mean, they kill babies.
Yeah. One of Planned Parenthood's strength is its marketing. They have excellent marketing, and believe it or not, it's that hot pink color that they use that really grabs people's attention, and it sounds crazy, but even Abby Johnson will tell you the reason she signed up to volunteer for Planned Parenthood in college is because she was attracted to the hot pink table that they had at her campus.
Yeah, I had her on
to
the
create
air.
These very deceptive, subversive sound bites. But a problem with our mass media culture, it can be such a wonderful thing and it can be such a problem, because we tend to just look at the sound bites and the images and the graphics and not think through things all the time anymore. Mm. And they'll create a sound bite like their newest campaign, Not in Her Shoes. They'll say, you know, don't judge abortion because you haven't been in a woman's shoes.
Right.
And they don't really expect people who support them to think through that message and say, well, what about the little girl's shoes who's being aborted?
Beautiful.
You know, they don't count on people thinking through their slogans, and unfortunately, people often don't. And I think that's why, because combined with their advertising, Planned Parenthood is able to continue this myth that they provide care and help for women, when really what they're doing is propagating a lot of lies and malpractice at the same time.
And it's not by coincidence, of course, with her background, and you know, especially in the late 20s, early 30s. What she stood for, it's certainly not surprising to those who really know what takes place in Planned Parenthood and their very reasons. They set up all of their abortionaries in low-income areas. They set them up in, minority areas. So who are they targeting? They're targeting, and I would tell people this, they're targeting your race. And now I see your last name, Lauren Enriquez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. That's
Hispanic.
My married name, but now I am a minority by marriage.
Exactly right. And this is the mindset behind this. So it's still carrying out her own root plan for Planned Parenthood, and even through the fact, tell us a little bit about... her plan for peace. I mean, if people really knew that, her plan for peace, you know, all the different articles, the purpose of the American Baby Code shall be to promote for a better distribution of babies and to protect society against the propagation and increase of the unfit.
Oh, yeah. The American Baby Code, it's almost like reading a George Orwell novel. You don't think it's real when you read it. I really thought it was just kind of a joke the first time I read it,
right,
until I did some more research into the background a few years ago, and I was shocked to find that Margaret Sanger really held all these articles up as something that she saw as a good thing for America's future, and that she actually worked to make sure that they would happen. Thank God most of them didn't, but you look at countries like China and some of the things that have happened in the U.S., and you see that Margaret Sanger was more successful than we would like to think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that she even...
So the American Baby Code is to provide a better distribution of babies.
Yeah.
Really? Like, what does that even mean, Margaret Sanger? She just thought that there were certain people who should exist and certain people who didn't, who shouldn't. And so she came up with the code to tell you how that should be carried out.
It's amazing. I mean, even to the fact, one of her articles in April of 1932, it even tells you the page. It was, if you wanted to look it up, the Birth Control Review, Plan for Peace. And one of the Article 6, I mean, I was flabbergasted when I read it. It says, no permit for parenthood shall be valid for more than one birth. Well, you talk about China, we see what has happened over there. This is the mindset of Planned Parenthood, and they wanted it to take place right here in America. Praise
exactly.
God, people had, you know, open minds and to see and to think through something like that.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the articles, again, I think it was Birth Control Review again on the next page, 108. It says, birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race.
Yeah.
She was a racist. There's a bigot and a racist. How people looked at her as this woman of great valor and courage. And it amazes me that we don't hear about this. Beginning to, but we never knew these things. We never, as a people, in our culture. We don't hear these types of things.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger probably would have said she was a eugenicist. I don't know if she would have called herself a racist, but you really can't have one without the
other.
She didn't believe that non-Aryan civilizations were really fit to exist. So even though she did say that certain white people shouldn't even exist, which would differentiate her from a traditional racist, she really was. She really spoke to the Ku Klux Klan and affirmed their work. How can you say that someone who did that was not a racist?
Exactly, exactly.
And yet we have these abortion centers, like you were saying earlier. I live in Houston, where we have the biggest Planned Parenthood in the Western Hemisphere, possibly in the world. It's right here in Houston. And they put it strategically exactly where Margaret Sanger would have put it if we were following her ideology. They put it where several mega neighborhoods converge. And one of those is a college campus, the biggest college campus in Houston. We've got the black neighborhood, the Hispanic neighborhood. They all converge right at one point, and that's exactly where Planned Parenthood put their abortion mill, and that was not by coincidence. That was a very determined move on their part to target the populations that their founder, who we call courageous and full of valor, wanted to target and eliminate.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, it's mind-blowing when people really begin to understand the principles that founded, the very principles that founded Planned Parenthood. In your article, you talked also about, and I thought this was very eye-opening for a lot of young people, maybe in colleges and even newly, you know, young graduates and so forth, that they're really not there to promote saving these babies. I think it's one child they will put up for, adoption.
Right.
When 390-some are killed for everyone that's referred.
Adoption is not a money-making business for Planned Parenthood. And even if Planned Parenthood weren't about money, adoption is not something that they see as empowering for women. Mm-hmm. They have this idea that the control over life and death is something that empowers women. And unfortunately, that means adoption is not something that's promoted by their organization.
Yeah. You know, if you be open to it, I'd like to open up the phone lines after we go on break, Lauren. And
sure.
And take some calls, possibly, that people would have. One of the things I wanted to also address in this segment was another, this was an article that was written about more about Sanger, and I think it's another thing that's amazing. And it was on women, morality, and birth control, and it was in New York, and was done by New York Publishing Company in 1922. This is the woman that is the very founder, with her principles and thoughts and ideas, who have founded Planned Parenthood. My brothers and sisters, listen to this. This is her mindset. She says in this that we should hire three or four, and this is speaking in her day, 1922, not to be offensive, but this is her words. We should have three or four colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten it all out, that idea, if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. I mean, this is something, like you said, you would open this up and think, this is a novel of some sort, or this is a George Orwell, definitely a story. And yet, this is who this woman was.
Yeah, and I challenge anyone listening to find that quote quoted by Planned Parenthood. They will not want you to know that Margaret Sanger said things like that.
Yeah, yeah, of course not, because even people who are on the lowest economic scale in this terrible time in our country, where, you know, just the economy is a really hard thing right now. If they really knew what this woman stood for and how she spoke about the minority races, about people with disabilities, about whites that were not, in her opinion, of any high class. She felt none of them had a purpose to live, and so they're carrying out her message even today. And we might be killing a future minister, a future pope, a future Nobel Prize winner. I mean, these children are being murdered. These little boys, these little girls, and nobody's thinking this through. And looking at it in such a way to say these are the very principles that started this Planned Parenthood. What would you say to our listeners today to try to enlighten their minds and understanding? Well, we have a very pro-life audience, pro-family. We are, you know, every single person. My heart aches for these minorities. I want to scream from the top of my lungs, don't you see what's happening here?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I think if they really knew these things and they were brought to the surface into the light, it would make a tremendous difference. Particularly with tax, you know, the tax money, our tax money that goes to funding these abortions. I think one of the probably their main income definitely is government money funding abortions with our tax money. And I think if we fought to eradicate that, I think these Planned Parenthood centers would just close up, because it is our money, our tax money, that funds them.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Just here in Texas, we had a tremendous defunding effort in the government in our session 2 years ago. And that worked to close down a large number of Planned Parenthood clinics in Texas. And by doing so, we were able to direct women to facilities that would offer them a broader spectrum of care that did not include abortion.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood doesn't offer mammograms. They don't offer some of the services that women really do need to have comprehensive health care. And Planned Parenthood will tell you over and over, we offer comprehensive health care because we offer abortion, and that's simply not true.
Right.
So by defunding them, you're absolutely right, they would lose over $1 million a day in our tax money, and that would really work to undercut the damage that they're doing in America. So it's really grassroots efforts. We don't do it on a federal level. We do it on a state level. We do it on a local level.
Right.
Call your legislators and tell them that you don't want Planned Parenthood funded. And follow Planned Parenthood's email list and Facebook and Twitter so that you'll know when something is going on in your local community, so that you'll know when to call your legislator and tell them to do the opposite of what Planned Parenthood wants them to do.
You know, Lauren, that's an excellent point. He's very articulately shared to the people one of the main things they can do. And who would ever think to follow them online? You're absolutely right.
You learn a lot by following them online. It's really surprising.
Right. I remember when I was first getting more deeply involved in my own Catholicism as a young woman, and I remember reading all the other things that were being said against Catholicism. And the only way that I could combat that was to know what they were saying, so I could have the truth to, take out the lie about what was being said. So it's true.
Okay.
Know your enemies. Know who they are. And as Abraham Lincoln said, keep them close to you so you know what
exactly.
They're about. Yeah.
Yeah. And just on that note, there's one more thing I want to say, and that's to never forget that abortion is a spiritual battle. And we can defund Planned Parenthood all we want. We can pass pro-life laws. But at the end of the day, what's going to shut them down is prayer.
Amen.
And praying for the women who are stuck in the decision where they feel like abortion is their only option.
And that's who your heart really goes out to, you know, Lauren. Your heart really goes out to these women that feel trapped. The women that maybe they've turned to the man in their life and they said, you know, the only way I'll help you is if you go have an abortion. And
you hear that story so often.
Yep, time and time again. And how about the poor men that the women decide they don't want this baby, and then they decide to have the abortion, the father has absolutely no right over it.
Absolutely none whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And I know a young man, a wonderful young man, he thought he was in love, she thought she was in love, maybe they were, and they had sex outside of marriage, and they conceived a child, and the girl wanted to have an abortion, and he begged and pleaded, I'll sign full responsibility, I'll raise the child, give me the child, I'll raise him.
Yep.
And she would have none of it, and she went ahead and had the abortion. This poor fella almost had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll become suicidal. And the irony, though, is that if she had chosen to keep that baby, he would be obligated to pay child support.
Right. Absolutely.
He has no say in whether or not he supports the baby if the woman chooses to keep it. But she has full authority over that child's life and death, even though it took both of them to conceive it.
It's mind-boggling.
It really is.
Lauren, I'm going to give out our phone numbers. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, I want to talk about a program that has been taking place in regards to an human investigation. So we will come back. Let me give out these numbers. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-343-2484. Perhaps you've never called in. Perhaps, you're in that situation that we talked about. You might be a minority. You might have issues that you need help with, maybe emotionally, spiritually, mentally. These are the people that are targeted. Maybe your economic situation is horrible. Give us a call. What are you feeling? What do you think about when you hear these kinds of truths? Because we can always refer. We want to help these women and men any way we can. And there's adoption's a beautiful choice. And if they decide to keep the baby, there are so many ways we could refer them for all the resources they need to help them get on their feet, to help them out with taking care of a child. So please give us a call, 610-527-2906. This is going out, of course, globally. So maybe you're listening over the internet. Again, give a call, toll free, 1-888-343-2484, or locally, 610-527-2906. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And again, I'm talking to Loris Anregis, and we're blessed to have her with us today.
We thank God for our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in his sign Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and in his sign, has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign, even Kathleen McCarthy, the president, donates all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. Caught me eating a piece of candy. Once again, I'd like to introduce you to Lauren Enriquez. She is a beautiful pro-life woman, and she's been involved in the life movement for many years. She's worked for great organizations such as Texas Right to Life and Students for Life of America. She's a graduate of Ave Maria University, where she studied classics and theology. Her husband, Jose, and 9-month-old son, John, are the greatest blessings in her life. And we were talking about Planned Parenthood and just the deceitful web that they constantly have people in the dark about. And we've tried to shed some light on that today, inviting you to call in. Maybe you've never called in before. Like to hear from you today as well. We have a broad listening audience, and we welcome your call. Also, I'm going to talk a little bit while we're waiting for the phones to ring, a little bit about a project that is underway, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. You wanted to mention that in regards to the inhuman investigations. Of course, we've had that here with God's trial. And I was wondering also, before we get into it, do you have any cases like that there in Texas?
Well, unfortunately, we do. It recently came to the media's attention that Houston has its own version of Kermit Gosnell. His name is Douglas Carpin. And his method, if you will, is to twist off babies' heads. All of them seem to have their own very grotesque and brutal means of personally undertaking to kill the child when it's born alive. And in Houston, twisting seems to be the option of choice, unfortunately. So you can read about him on Life News. Stephen Ertelt came out with an article about him a few days ago.
Okay.
His name is, again, Douglas Carpin.
You know, the evil that takes place... today we call good evil and evil good, but I was so happy to hear the verdict come down that people could see through and think through and call evil what it is. And yeah. And these are the people that, I mean, we need to pray. I was telling people over the air, Lauren, and I'm sure you would agree with me, you wanted justice to be done, but on the other hand, I mean, I'm pro-life under any circumstances. I'm pro-life. So I didn't want him to get the death penalty. But what I did want is for everybody to begin to pray for his soul so that you know, his heart and mind would be turned from death to life. And what a witness he could be when he, if he ever repented and acknowledged the horrific crimes that took place, and what a voice he could be for life if he
Absolutely.
Truly repented.
Look at Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who's
Perfect.
Now deceased. He did the same thing. He killed tens of thousands of children in abortion, and one day he had a wake-up call. He saw the light, and he spent the rest of his life working to change the tides in America. He had helped to make abortion legal.
Right.
And he just worked as hard as he could until his death to illegalize it. And, you know, we wonder if perhaps Kermit Gosnell became very desensitized with all of the horrors that he was committing. Eventually, when you sin enough, you just start to become numb to what you're doing.
Right.
And maybe this verdict is the wake-up call that he needed. If we all pray for him, you know, maybe this verdict and his time that he will spend in prison or whatever his sentence is will help to wake him up to what he actually did and the
yeah.
tragedy that he committed, and maybe he'll become another Dr. Nathan.
Absolutely. That's my prayer. We have a call on the line. Lauren, let's take this call.
Sure.
Dominic, you're on the air.
Yes, Kathleen, thanks for taking my call, and I believe my name is Lauren. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, Lauren, my question is this. I'm very concerned about the HHS mandate. And the Catholic Church, I believe by August 1st, has to say yes or no to the fact that we, as Catholics, especially the hospitals, are being mandated presently to perform abortions. And I think that's like, you know, you hear in Scripture the abomination, desolation, or whatever. I think that's the worst thing for heaven to... Could you imagine heaven looking at Catholic hospitals performing abortions under the Obama administration? I'd like to know what the legal status is up to date. Today is what, the 22nd? Where are we at in regard to fighting that mandate? This is a disaster. I can't believe that we're going to be forced to perform abortions.
That'll never happen, Dominic.
The army of God, the Catholic Church. So if I sound a little upset, I am.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Also, I believe that we should focus more on not so much, I'm not against the program. I hear many about pro-life. We talk about the problem, the cause of the problem, but I think we have to concentrate on the solution. That's bringing the Blessed Mother into play in regard to Genesis 3:15, the 1917 message. And I feel, and I say this in love, she has been shelved by the church. We're not preaching Fatima, and unless God's plan is fulfilled to bring her to the forefront, we're going to fail in many of the efforts as we have in the past. So I hope you take this message in love, and I'll hang up and listen to the program. Thank you very much, Kathleen.
God bless you.
And Lauren.
All right, God bless. Before you start to answer that, I'd like to put a little comment there. First and foremost, Dominic, I can solemnly assure you that no Catholic hospital will start performing abortions. We would go to jail first, or we would shut down our hospitals. I say that with full confidence. Our church teaches the truth that life is precious from the beginning of conception until the natural death. We will close our doors, and I stand on what the church teaches there. I think it's not just an idle threat. It is a valid threat. The other thing is, I agree with you 100%. We certainly have to bring Our Lady into this. Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know, she is a beautiful gift to the church, our mother. I mean, the most precious gift that Christ gave us from the cross. I think there are some who don't acknowledge her the way maybe they should, but I will not go as far as to say the church, because the church has certainly done more than any other religious institution in the world from the beginning of Christendom to bring forth Our Lady as the protector, not only protectress of life. So I would disagree with that a little bit. But however, I thank you for your call. I think your questions are absolutely excellent. And I'm going to let Lauren answer that. I could not let
sure.
that go without responding.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Dominic, I love your name. You have a very Marian name, and I hope that you promote the rosary like your patron saint did. As we were saying before, it is a spiritual warfare, and Mary should be at the helm of our ship, so I agree with you on that. As far as the HHS mandate goes, what our host was saying is absolutely correct. The church will close it, the church hospitals will close their doors before they will perform abortions. Jesus said in the Bible, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," but Caesar's are not the lives of our unborn brothers and sisters. And we will close our doors before we render those unto the government.
Amen.
We will close our doors before we murder our brothers and sisters. So don't be worried that Catholic hospitals will start performing abortions. They will either become non-Catholic hospitals or they will close their doors. I don't know the status. I'm probably among the ranks of those who are completely overwhelmed by the HHS mandate and all the lawsuits that are being brought against it. But I support Hobby Lobby. I support my university, Ave Maria, and all the Christian, Catholic, and pro-life organizations who have said to the government, you do have power, but you don't have this power, and we're going to fight you until we find justice in this HHS mandate and somehow find a balance. If it's got to be implemented, it won't ruin our religious freedom, because that's exactly what it's doing. And for some reason, Christians and Catholics in particular are targeted against our religious freedom, unlike any other religious group. So we have to keep fighting the good fight. But I just want to echo what the host said in saying, you know, don't be worried that Catholic hospitals will start doing abortions, because we have a long history of martyrs who died before they would sin or denounce their faith, and I have no doubt that that will continue to be the case.
And Dominic, you know, this guy, he always has the greatest questions when he calls in. He's very informed. As a matter of fact, I wish that everybody could be as informed as he is, because he's very informed. He's very articulate. But I just had to state that one fact vehemently. I would not have one of our listeners think for 1 minute that we would be forced into murdering our children. That will never, ever happen. But again, I share those concerns with Dominic in regards to the mandate. And our Christian brothers and sisters, our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, I mean, everybody who respects life, realize that this is a choice. They are coming against our personal belief system. And they're standing tall, shoulder to shoulder, lockstep with us, because they know if they shut this most powerful voice down, meaning the Catholic Church, then they're next. The Church is a powerful institution, and that's why they're coming to attack her at the very root of her beliefs. But my brothers and sisters, remember this. For good to triumph, all it takes is good people to be silent. So speak up, stand up, and let's make some noise together through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. So one of the things also I wanted to talk about, and as I said, that is the investigation that's taken place. And maybe you talk a little bit about that, Lauren, today?
Sure, yes. The organization that I write for is the news/blog counterpart of Live Action Films. And most of your listeners might already be familiar with this, but what they do is undercover investigations into abortion, particularly Planned Parenthood, but also other independent abortion facilities.
Like Lila Rose, is she a part of that?
Exactly. Yeah. Lila Rose is the president and founder of the organization.
Right.
And we have looked into many aspects where Planned Parenthood is not law-abiding, as they would like people to think they are. They don't report rape. They help minors obtain abortions without parental consent. They have a long history of skirting the law. And in our latest investigation, a young pregnant woman who was working as kind of an actor for Live Action went into several abortion facilities where late-term abortions were offered, or as I like to say, committed. And she posed as a patient in these facilities And she secretly filmed the answers that these abortionists gave her when she asked them questions like, how will the baby die? How will you get the baby out? What will happen if the baby is born alive? What will happen if I deliver the baby at my hotel? Because these abortion processes take about 3 days, so there is always a chance that you won't make it to the facility before you give birth. We have covered so far 4 locations, Phoenix, Maryland, Nebraska, Washington, D.C., and these are just 4 of the ones that Live Action has looked at and has filmed undercover. So I really recommend taking a look at that. It will show you that what the media is saying about Gosnell being an anomaly is completely bogus. Gosnell is not an anomaly. He does not stand alone. He is not special. Gosnells are all over America. And if you look at our investigation, Inhuman, which you can find at liveaction.org/inhuman, you'll see that it's all too common and frequent that abortionists will readily admit that if a baby is born alive, they will either do nothing to help it or they will aid in its process of dying. And that is completely illegal under the federal Born Alive Infant Protection Act, which says that babies who survive abortions are entitled to the full spectrum of care that a normal infant who has not attempted to be aborted would have received. So these abortionists are just very open about their willingness to break the law. And there are several others that weren't even covered in the investigation. There's a late-term abortionist in Hollywood, California. There's the one that we were talking about earlier here in Houston. So get the word out there that Gosnell is not an anomaly, but hopefully by spreading the word about these abortionists, we can help to raise awareness and get more of them to be following the law and maybe put them out of business, God willing.
God willing. My favorite saying, God willing. Even my grandchildren, I'll say something and they'll say, yes, God willing. one of the things, first off, I want to praise and thank God for the courage and the true valor that you show. It is people like you, with all the people that have been in the trenches fighting for pro-life issues. You are the heroes and heroines of our time. And it's a thankless job always. But I thank you, and I thank you on the in the name of all the unborn, that that one day this will be overturned, Roe versus Wade, and it'll be through all of us coming together, because it is only through prayer, fasting, and speaking up and stepping up to the plate and allowing our voices to be heard. Before I let you go, one of the things I'd like you to leave our listeners with was, people say, well, what can I do? I'm one person. I hear that time and time again. What can I do? I'm one person. Well, sometimes it starts. I have a friend of mine that started a beautiful prayer time and a booklet called The Power of One. And there's great power in one, because Christ works through us and in us for his good pleasure. So tell us some of the things that maybe if somebody's listening at home, maybe they can't get out of the house, different things that maybe they could do to help make a difference here.
Absolutely. Well, we touched on some of them. I always tell people, you know, try out different things until you find your niche.
Yeah.
Because you might find that praying at an abortion mill is where you're needed in the ministry, and that might be something that you want to do every week. But be informed about what's going on in the pro-life movement. Like I said, follow these pro-abortion organizations and your Right to Life affiliates and other pro-life organizations on social media, on the internet, on email. Get their publications in the mail. Just know what's going on, because like you said, the power of one, if you just tell your next-door neighbor, oh, did you know about so-and-so going on down the street, that might change your community, you know, if you can just raise awareness about what's going on locally, grassroots, around you. So be informed. That's something that you can do easily from your home. Doesn't matter if you're disabled or you're not very good at technology. It doesn't take much to just follow somebody on Twitter or Facebook. Another thing is to always just remember to pray. It's a spiritual battle, as we've touched on a few times in this hour. It won't we won't make progress without prayer. And those of us who are more, like, involved in the trenches, we're only able to do that because there's people who are at home praying.
Absolutely.
Nobody sees them. Nobody acknowledges their work, but it's just as important, if not more, than what the rest of us are doing.
I agree. If it wasn't for
them. Also, try 40 Days for Life. Yep. You never know if that is going to be something that will pique your interest and something that you'll stick with for the rest of your life, but you might have a secret talent as a sidewalk counselor. So just try out different
Beautiful.
Things and stay informed so that you'll know how you can be involved. Find your niche and just be consistent with it.
Well, very good. And once again, we were talking to Lauren, and we're blessed to have her with us today. Continue. May God bless you and anoint you to continue to do the work you do. God bless you, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me on. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. My brothers and sisters, we only have 5 minutes left. I wanted to get this to you. Once again, we're coming down to the wire for the I just was told we really do have 10 minutes. My clock says 4.5. But at any way, we have an upcoming healing retreat, our 6th annual healing retreat at Malvern. And it'll be directed by myself, Kathleen McCarthy, and co-directed by Father Stephen DeLacy. Always a powerful weekend. And Father DeLacy is he's just a wonderful, wonderful holy priest. And I encourage you to sign up. Our world is in need of healing. And the theme is, Heal Me, O Lord, and I Shall Be Healed. Save me and I shall be saved, from Jeremiah. And once again, it's part of In His Sign Catholic Radio's ministry. And we will feature the beautiful music of Amanda Deo and her beautiful voice, The Embers. And we also, of course, will have Mass. We have a generational healing Mass for all those that have seen time and time again these generational things carried through from generation to generation, addictions and all kinds of things, alcohol and drugs and pornography and suicide, just all kinds of things. And so we will be having a generational healing Mass, going back and cleansing that healing tree from the effects of these. We're set free into new life from baptism, but just as we have to go to purgatory to be completely, you know, purged, also many times we still suffer some of these effects of generations before us in our family tree. So this is a wonderful time to come and experience the healing power of our living God. There's always time for fellowship and reflection and free time. There will also be 4 powerful witnesses giving testimony about their own healings, physical, emotional, spiritual. And to view the flyer, all you have to do is go to Malvern Retreat, or you can download it right off of our website. Go to www.inhissign.com. The flyer is uploaded. You can print it out. You can call Malvern at 610-644-0400, 610-644-0400, or you can just go to malvernretreat.com, click in, put in Kathleen McCarthy, and that will come up. We look forward to seeing you. Make your reservations now. We're getting down to the wire. We have to have a final count for food. So please make your reservations by the beginning of next week at the very latest. We look forward to it. Also, I want to remind everybody, I was just assigned my priest today, and I have my spiritual mother's bracelet on for adopting a priest as a spiritual son. And I would encourage you, we need to fortify our priests by surrounding them in prayer. And steadfast prayer. And if you'd like to be a spiritual mother of a priest, then give me a call here, and I will refer you to the person to get you your bracelet and assign you a priest. These are priests from our own archdiocese. We're praying for our own pray for our priesthood every day from the Holy Father all the way down, but it's so wonderful to be able to know that I have my own spiritual son as a priest, and praying for him in particular. So once again, if you'd like to be a mother, a spiritual mother of priests, I did a program on it a few weeks ago with Maria Richardson, and she is handling this. She's a chairperson for this in our archdiocese. Again, give me a call, 610-527-2906, and I will put you in touch with Maria. You will be assigned a priest. You will get his name, and then if one or the other, it's all anonymous, and if one of us would ever be called home, then we designate a person to let that priest know that we were their spiritual mother. And vice versa, God forbid, if same thing, if the priest would go home, then you would be assigned a new priest. So please, this is so needed in our time and in our culture today. Who better to attack than the priesthood? Because they pull that down, and they try to destroy the community of parishes and parish life. So once again, spiritual motherhood for priests, give us a call. They need your prayers. They acknowledge it, and the Archbishop Charles approves greatly of this, and he's given his okay for everything, and he's thrilled. He would like to see every priest with a spiritual mother. So please think about it and pray about it. Nothing's required. Doesn't cost anything. All it does is ask you to intercede for one particular priest the rest of your days. So please consider it. Also, I want to, for Kathy and Matt, I offer my condolences. Their father died early in the morning, and Kathy's father, I know he has entered into the kingdom of God, and now praying for them and their grandchildren and their family. So my brothers and sisters, we only have a minute or two left. I'm going to close with prayer as always, and I ask you to remember that that we are God's people. We are his people. And the Lord told us today in the scriptures, you know, that anyone who does a mighty work in his name is his. So I would have you remember that we're all part of this body of Christ, this mystical body of Christ. And if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you, and you're missed. And so I ask today that the Spirit of the living God at this time of Pentecost would pour out his Spirit on all people, all those listening today, that he would sanctify us from within and draw us closer to the very sacred heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of his Holy Mother Mary. I say once again to all of you, please pray for us here at In His Sign. And remember this, you're never alone. And until we meet again, remember that he who is within you is far greater than he who is in the world. God bless you.